before this service today. And the Lord knows what He wants to do. And I believe that somebody came here today needing this. And I believe somebody's. I know it was me for sure. But I feel like there's some others that need this. And I don't take it lightly, but I feel that this is a word from the Lord for somebody's here today. I feel like this is a word of encouragement. This is a word of confirmation. This is a word, a supernatural encouraging word from the Lord for someone here today. And I want us to receive it. I want us to let God work. I don't know what all He's going to do, but let's just let Him have His way. Amen. Praise the Lord. Psalms chapter 91 and verse 9. Psalms chapter 91 and verse 9. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder. The young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. The young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Dear Lord, we thank you for the moving of your Spirit today. We're thankful for the family of God today. And Lord, you see every heart and mind, and you know the lives that you have ordained this message for, this sermon, this word from you. I pray that you'd help us to receive it. And not only receive it, but God, help us with faith to move into action, to move forward in the calling and the blessing that you have for us. We give you the praise and the worship for it in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. God bless you. You may be seated. God's word declares, then shalt thou tread upon the lion and the adder. The young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Dragons are mentioned throughout Scripture, called by names like leviathans and behemoths and sea monsters and others. The oldest book of the Bible, Job, it talks about dragons, probably more than any other book, except perhaps Revelation. The ancient world believed in dragons. The Dark Ages were filled with stories and myths of such creatures. When medieval map makers drew maps, which included areas that had been unexplored or unknown, they would place on the map drawings of sea monsters and dragons with the words, "Here be dragons." Now, I've never seen a dragon in person. I've seen pictures of what they said was the Loch Ness Monster. But I've also seen pictures of what they said was Bigfoot. So, I don't know. However, I do believe in dragons. I believe in dragons in the sense of how ancient map makers believed in dragons. You see, we all face things which provoke fear in us. Monsters under the bed. Creatures lurking in the shadows. Dragons of doubt and uncertainty, which seek to destroy our faith and steal our confidence, and ultimately they try to stop our forward motion. Manifestations of fear, which do everything they can to drain us of our energy and our will to do the things that God has called us to do. And so that's why I preach to us on this thought today. It's time to kill a dragon called fear. It's time to kill a dragon called fear. Is anybody ready to go on a dragon hunt with us today? Come on, are you ready? Is anybody?
Anxiety and panic attacks control our life.
Amen.
Come on, it's time to not let the enemy stop what God is trying to do and how God is trying to move. It's
yeah.
time to kill a dragon called fear.
Yeah.
Sometimes you just got to get fed up with the devil and say, you know what? I'm tired of running afraid. I'm tired of being scared. I'm tired of giving in. I believe that God has given us victory. And I'm going to stand on the word of God and believe that there's going to be lions and there's going to be adders and there's going to be dragons that are trampled under feet. Hallelujah. It's time to kill a dragon called fear. The Ann Landers column stopped running in newspapers in 2002. Their column began in 1941 with two women who, they carried on the task of answering questions about life, and they would read letters sent in by readers to the newspaper. They once received the question, "What is the most common problem most addressed in letters written to you?" From over 10,000 letters received a month, can you imagine that? They replied that the vast majority dealt with a single issue, fear. Fear of losing one's health. Fear of losing loved ones. Fear of losing security. Fear of financial troubles. Fear. There's a lot of fears out there. Feeling life much like dragons wanting to destroy us. Fears are everywhere. According to Google, there are over 700 documented phobias and fears. And many throughout history have struggled with fearful dragons. George Washington's dragon was the fear of being buried alive. Gustav Eiffel, the designer of the Eiffel Tower's dragon, was a fear of heights. Imagine that. Franklin D. Roosevelt's dragon was the fear of the number 13. Richard Nixon's dragon was a fear of hospitals. Julius Caesar and Napoleon both had the same dragon. It was a fear of cats. Film director Alfred Hitchcock had a dragon. It was the fear of eggs. Oprah Winfrey's dragon is a fear of chewing gum. Many celebrities and famous people are noted to deal with the dragon of a fear of the dark. What about the new dragon of fear that's appeared in social media today? FOMO, the fear of missing out. The fear of missing out. Dragons are everywhere. Now, there's certain fears that they're healthy to have. We're taught in the Word of God to have a fear of the Lord. Amen. Solomon said that that's the beginning of wisdom. And of course, we should fear things like fire and sticking our fingers in a light socket or running out in the middle of a street. But unhealthy fears are meant to destroy us. And the Bible says that fear hath torment. Fear hath torment. And so it does. In our text today, the psalmist described it as a lion, as an adder or a cobra. As a dragon, the roar of a lion, it paralyzes its prey with fear. The cobra can spit venom many feet in the eyes of its prey, blinding it. The dragon is seen as something invincible, and the message conveyed is that, well, you can run from a dragon, but he's still going to get you. And there's a ton of other things in our life that provoke fear. Habitual fear can even cause physical problems in our bodies. Ulcers, adrenal fatigue, and other health issues. Chronic fear can keep people from working a job or advancing in their career. Dragons don't make easy pets. Dragons are not easy to get along with. Even the disciples of the Lord met with this dragon. We read in Mark chapter 4, verse 37, and there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? Why are you fearful? Apparently, their level of fear was beyond just a healthy recognition of danger. After all, these were fishermen. They were used to storms, but this was something different. And fear must have consumed them, and that's what it does. It seeks to consume us, to paralyze us, to blind us from seeing anything else, to destroy our lives and the calling that God has placed upon us. Why else does every person who has ever been used mightily by the Spirit of God have to fight fear? Because it's the enemy's tactic to stop chosen vessels and keep them from accomplishing what God has called them to do. Every single person who has been mightily used by God has one day had to face the dragon of fear. Fear works powerfully to get our eyes off the Lord. I want to tell you today, He's the master of the wind. He's the one who controls the sea. He's the one that's much larger than the storm. But fear gets us focused on the storm itself so that we stand still. But I tell you that today, you've got to hear this. It's time to kill a dragon called fear. There's too much for the church to do. There are too many souls at stake. There's too many of you that are called to do mighty things in the end time to let fear paralyze us and give Satan victory. Come on, somebody, hear me today. Hear me with your heart. Let this go deep in your spirit. It's time to kill a dragon called fear. Now, if we're going to go dragon hunting, got to know where to find them. If you want to go squirrel hunting, well, I can take you to a place where you're going to find squirrels. I know, because the McCoy boys and I have shot some, and we've missed some. So I know there's some still there. And when squirrel season opens back up in a few days, we're going to make some plans to go to this top secret place and find a few of them. By the way, it's not in our church neighborhood. Have you ever seen so many squirrels? And they're not afraid of anything. They love the flowers that Sister McCoy planted out front. They love those things. She thought the neighborhood kids were picking the flowers and scattering the dirt all around. And we pulled up one day and all you could see was dirt flying out of that flower pot. And a bushy tail, just a wagging back. She got so mad. She got on the internet and read what, and she went and got cayenne pepper and sprinkled it all in the flowers. It's supposed to work. I don't know if it's working. I did see two squirrels the other day. They were just a sneezing, going. I'm joking. Okay, wow. Let me get back to my notes here. If you want to go squirrel hunting, you got to go where squirrels are. If you want to kill some dragons, you got to know where they hang out. First of all, dragons are found where we focus on our surroundings. Dragons are found where we focus on our surroundings. Elisha's servant, he came out of the house one day to realize the enemy had surrounded them. And Elisha prayed that God would open his eyes. And only then did he lift his eyes above the surroundings to realize that God had a mighty angel arming that was surrounding his surroundings. When we focus on the moment, when we focus on what we can sense, what we can see, what we can taste, what we can touch, what we smell, what we hear, when we focus on those things in the natural, then we're getting into dragon country. And that's where you'll find fear. Oh, good old Peter, Jesus had told him to step out of the boat and come to him on the water. And let's not knock Peter because he's the only one that had the faith to do it. But Peter got his eyes off of Jesus and started to look around at his surroundings. And he started to look at what the situation was around him. And he began to sink. I want to tell you, dragons come when we focus on the surroundings and not on the Lord. Dragons come when we focus on the temporal and not on the eternal. Dragons come when we get to looking at our situation instead of the one who's able to take care of every situation and every need. Come on, what are you looking at right now? Can you only see bills and crisis and pain and sickness? Can you only see the trouble in your life? Are you so fixated on circumstances that you've missed the fact that God is working behind the scenes? Come on, we've got to realize God is able to do anything, and we're His children, and He's going to make a way. Hallelujah. When we see only our present condition, our present heartache, our present trial, the misery that we're currently in, then you just get ready because in a little while, that's where dragons are going to show up. Secondly, dragons are found where we believe the enemy's report. Every day we're bombarded with the negative. Bad news is everywhere. Evil reports are all around. The rule in the news media is if it bleeds, it leads. That's why murder and abuse and death and tragedy, they're all front and center in the media. Jesus said at the end of time, men's hearts will fail them with fear. There are dragons everywhere when we believe the enemy's report. But don't be like the 10 spies who came back with an evil report. 10 out of 12 who spied out the promised land, they believed the enemy's report, and they came back with negative news. And when we believe what the enemy has to say, that's where we're going to find dragons. Don't you know that devil is a liar? Don't you know that devil is a liar? If he's talking, he's a lying. He tells a lie when it would be better for him to tell the truth. So stop believing the report of the enemy. Stop accepting his message of fear. Don't you listen to his lies any longer, because that's where dragons dwell. We need to take the advice of Apostle Paul in Philippians 4 and 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. We're going to kill some dragons here today. Come on, you've put up with it long enough. You've listened to the lies long enough. You've tried to baby it and put up with it and get along with it. But dragons don't make good pets. It's time to kill the dragon of fear. It's time to kill the dragon of fear. Hallelujah. Thirdly, we find dragons where we accept our condition. Well, I've been this way for 30 years. I guess I'll just have to go to my grave like this. Or I've been praying a while and God hasn't answered yet, so I just got to accept it. The devil's been beating me up, so I guess I'll just back off. And, you know, I'm just tired of fighting. What about Jesus and the man at the pool of Bethesda? Every once in a while, an angel would come and go down in the pool, and he would stir up the water. Whoever the first one was in the water was healed. And reading in John 5 and verse 5, and a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie and knew what he had do that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, wilt thou be made whole? I'm about to preach to somebody here right now. Wilt thou be made whole? He'd been sick for 38 years. I don't know how long he'd been there at the pool, but every time the angel started turning up the water, somebody else jumped in before he could get there. And Jesus looks at him and says, wilt thou be made whole? In other words, do you want? Do you want to be healed? Do you want your life to be transformed? Some people like misery. Some people like being sick. They take pleasure in pain. They're comfortable with their condition and they accept it. They're used to it. It's been that way now for years, and so they're okay with how it is. Well, it's been for 30 years. Why believe for something to change now? And well, I put up with that spirit all my life. Why should I ask for deliverance now? We've got to ask ourselves, do we want to get better? Do we want to be made whole? Because if we do, I tell you, there's one who can do it in the moment of a time. I tell you, he can heal the body, he can touch the mind, he can deliver the soul. Come on, church, do we want to have revival? Do we want to have a breakthrough? Do we want to have healings and miracles and signs and wonders? Because if the answer's no, then we've just accepted our condition, and that's where we'll find dragons. But if there's a desire in our heart, if there's a little faith, it might just be as a grain of mustard seed. But if there's a little faith, and if we're tired of being bound, and we're tired of being sick, and we're tired of being fearful, and then we're about to kill some dragons here today. Don't accept your condition, but believe God is able. If we're going dragon hunting, we need the right weapons to do it. Now, Daniel's a pretty good shot with a .22. I like to hunt squirrels with a shotgun, because if I'm close enough, I'll get them. Those fox squirrels are something else. But what about dragons? What do we hunt them with? Jesus asked the disciples, why are you so afraid? Why are you so afraid? And then he said, have faith in God. God has given us some armor. He's given us some weapons to fight the enemy. Ephesians 6 and 11, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you should be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. The enemy likes to send fiery darts your way, and the main purpose is to distract you. But take up the shield of faith so you can quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Amen. There's some other ways, some other weapons. We overcome the wicked one with the blood of the Lamb and with the word of our testimony. If you've been baptized in the name of Jesus, then you have the blood of the Lamb applied to your life. And I tell you, there's power in the blood. There's power in the blood. Not just in any blood, but in the blood of the Lamb. I tell you, that perfect sacrifice, God manifested in flesh, come to seek and to save that which was lost. There's power in the blood. You need to start claiming the blood over your life. You need to plead the blood of Jesus over your mind. You need to plead the blood of Jesus over your kids. You need to walk around your home praying the prayer of faith and pleading the blood of Jesus. Lord, let there be a covering on this home. I pray that you would put a dividing line right here. Don't let the enemy come across this line, but I plead the blood of Jesus. I plead the blood of Jesus. I plead the blood of Jesus over that school bus. I plead the blood of Jesus over that school. I plead the blood of Jesus over that college. I plead the blood of Jesus over this neighborhood. I plead the blood of Jesus over this church. Amen, amen. Come on, you need to get a bottle of oil and you need to just pour it all the way around your house and say, I plead the blood. I plead the blood of Jesus. I plead the blood of Jesus. Let this be a line that the enemy can't cross. Lord, let your angels guard us. Let your angels protect us. In the name of, come on, do you believe stuff like that? There's power in the blood. And if you'll start declaring some things by faith, if you'll start speaking by faith, testifying by faith, we overcome by the word of our testimony. Don't let the negative come out of your mouth anymore. Don't repeat the lies of the devil. Don't give in to what he's trying to tell you and speak it out. But you keep at it. You keep that in. You speak out faith. I'm an overcomer in the name of Jesus. I'm going to make it in the name of Jesus. I'm going to live for God by faith in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Our text in Psalm 91 and 9 says, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation, there shall be no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come anigh thy dwelling, for he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. If we'll make the Lord our refuge, if we'll make him our shelter, then no evil shall come on us. There will be no plague that comes close to our house, and he will give his angels charge over us. Everywhere we go, he's ordered his angels to go with us, to protect us, to guard us in all our ways. Come on, is anybody ready to kill a dragon today? You're not meant to be bound by fear. It's not God's will that you suffer from panic attacks. It's not God's will for your life that you be controlled by anxiety. I tell you, it's time to kill a dragon called fear. Paul wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy 1 and 6, wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Stir up that spirit within you. It's not a spirit of fear, but the spirit gives us power. The spirit gives us power. Power to do great things for God. Power to do things we can't do in our flesh. Power to resist the devil and overcome. Power to stand against the wiles of the devil. Samuel anointed David to be king. And the Bible says the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. And even though David went back out to the field to tend his father's sheep, there was something different about David. This wasn't the same boy that had been out there before, but there was something different. There was something different. And he went back there, but the Spirit of the Lord was upon him. And that made all the difference in fighting the lion and the bear and eventually a giant named Goliath. And that Philistine was a big old boy, but David had something even greater on his life. It was the Spirit of the Lord. Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. We don't have a spirit of fear, but we have a spirit of power. We have love. Fear torments. But we've not been given a spirit of fear. People dealing with the dragon of fear, they're tormented. It's a miserable thing. But perfect love cast out. 1 John 4:18, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. Thank God for his love. Thank God for his love. Because of his love, we're called the sons of God. Because of his love, we're the apple of his eye. Because of his love, we know that he watches over us. Perfect love casteth out fear. God's not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love. And of a sound mind. Thank God. You're going to lose your mind. That's what the enemy told me. You're going to lose your mind. Over and over and over again. I couldn't sleep. I couldn't handle being alone. I couldn't handle being in crowds. It was a big dragon. And he was breathing fire down my neck. And his roar was right there, always right there, telling me I was going to be reduced to a shriveling blob of tears and fear and anxiety. Never able to hold a job and never able to speak in public or function again. And you're going to lose your mind. You're going to lose your mind.
God's not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Come on, are you ready? We're going to kill a dragon right now. You're not going to lose your mind. You're not going to lose your mind in the name of Jesus. I speak the word of God over your mind by faith in the name of Jesus. God didn't give you a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. A sound mind is a trained mind. A trained mind. Maybe you feel a little crazy today. But train your mind. Fill it with the word of God. 2 Corinthians 10 and 4, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Don't let the enemy have a play date in your mind. It's your mind. It's not his. It's your mind. You can control what is in your mind. You have a right to control what goes on in there. We're to bring every thought into the obedience of Christ. Alexander the Great, he used to leave armor laying around on the battlefield that would only fit men who were 8 feet tall. Because he knew his enemies would find that armor and think they had giants. It was intimidation. It was fear tactics. It was all meant to scare the enemy with something that wasn't even real. Don't believe the enemy's scare tactics anymore. But Satan attacks our minds. He comes against our thoughts. He preys on us when we're at our weakest. He kicks us when we're down. But even though we might fall from time to time, oh, and he loves to remind us of our failures of the past. But you just turn to Revelation chapter 20 and read verses 1 and 3 to that devil. And I saw an angel come down from heaven having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold of that dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years and cast him into the bottomless pit. Yes, devil, we may have messed up. We have made some mistakes. We may have fallen down, but we're getting back up because there's still hope for us. There's still hope for us. But as for you, old devil, as for you, old dragon, there's no hope for you. Your future's already been decided. There's nothing you can do to change it. You don't let that old dragon play mind games with you. God's not given us a spirit of fear, but of a sound mind. But there's a little more. Daniel, come help me. Our text says, kneel down and put your head right on the altar there. Our text says, and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. In ancient times, after the battle was won, the victor would come and he'd take that king that had been defeated. They'd lay him on the ground, and that victor put his head or his foot right on that neck of his beaten enemy, signifying he is under my feet. Thank you. I love those songs that talk about Satan is under my feet. Not because of what we've done, because of what he's done. And because of his power that rests inside of us. Hallelujah. I want to tell you today, you have the authority, you have the power to trample under your feet that old dragon of fear. Hallelujah. In the Old Testament, if you remember, the Syrian army had surrounded the city. It's the same word that's used here in this passage. And everybody was about to starve. Elisha had prophesied that on tomorrow they would have all the food they wanted. And God used four lepers that were stuck outside the city. And they didn't know what to do, but they were hungry. And so they started walking towards the enemy camp. But God caused their footsteps to sound like a mighty army of chariots and horses. And when they got to the enemy's camp, everybody had run away. They had themselves a time. They ate and drank everything they could eat, and they were picking up silver and gold. And they said, you know, we got to go tell the people in the city. They're starving in there. And the people came, and they rushed out. And there was a man who had mocked what Elisha had prophesied. And the Bible says the people trod on him, and he died. That man represented fear and unbelief. But God wants you to tread that under feet. The same word for trample under feet is used when Jehu called to the eunuchs. He said, you throw her down. And they threw Jezebel down. 2 Kings 9:33, and he said, throw her down. So they threw her down, and some of her blood was sprinkled on the wall and on the horses, and he trod her underfoot. We're going to put some things under our feet here today. We're going to put some things. We're going to kill some dragons today. Would you stand with me? Praise the Lord. This is one of my most valued possessions in all the world. It's the Word of God, of course. All my Bibles are one of my most valued possessions, but this one's special. This one's special. In 1968, Reverend B.H. McCoy, Port Arthur, Texas. My grandfather had many Bibles. And they gave one to each of his grandkids that were preachers. There's some good sermon notes in these. I'll pick it up to read a scripture, and I'll notice underlying verses. And I think this was my grandfather. He underlined this one day a few years ago. You didn't get to know my grandfather. B.H. McCoy was the greatest Christian I've ever known. One of the greatest preachers I've ever heard. Baptized thousands of people in Jesus' name. Their church in Port Arthur, Texas ran 1,000 in Sunday school before anybody else had ever done that way back in the day. He's one of the greatest Christians I've ever met. But there was something about him. He wore glasses. And he loved to laugh. But every once in a while, you cross a line and he'd look at you down over those glasses. You knew, oop, better watch out. This Bible, this sword, has killed a lot of dragons. It's been tested. It's been tried. And I'm going to keep using it. If you have your Bible here, it may be on your cell phone, or you might have your Bible here in paper version. Why don't you pick it up right now? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. If you've never tried this, if you've ever been plagued by fear and torment, if If you've ever had an attack of ungodly thoughts that bombard your mind, you take your Bible, you open it up, and you put it across your heart like that. Come on, I'm not getting weird. I'm telling you, it works. There's been some times I didn't know what else to do, and I couldn't think straight. Oh, touch my mind. Touch my mind. This is our main weapon. It's our sword. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. God, you've not given me the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And you take that sword and you attack the enemy with it. Not with your wisdom, not with earthly weapons, not with what we can do on our own, but you just quote the word of God and you speak the truth that has been forever settled. You speak this word that's a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. You speak this truth. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word is God, and the Word is with God. I want to tell you today, this Word is your weapon. It is your sword. It is the key to defeating the dragon of fear. Stop believing the lies of the enemy and quote the Word of truth. Stop believing his fear and his torment and start quoting that is true, that is uplifting, that which is encouraging. Thank God for his Word. Thank God for his Word. Hallelujah. Medieval map makers used to draw those maps, and they used to write on unknown places, "Here be dragons." The great Arctic explorer, Sir John Franklin, he had one of those ancient maps in his office. In spite of the great monetary value of that old map, he took a pen. He marked off the words that said, "Here be dragons." And in his own handwriting, he wrote, "Here is God. Here is God." Dragon of fear, it's time to meet God. Dragon of fear, it's time to meet the Word of God. It's time for you to go. James chapter 4 and verse 7, "Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you." As long as you put up with it, that dragon's going to hang around. If you treat it like a pet, it's going to move up in your house and it's going to stay and you're going to have a hard time getting it out. But sometimes you got to say, enough is enough. I submit myself to God. I humble myself before God. I repent of my sins. I repent of my failures. And I stand upon the truth of God's word. And I resist the devil and he will flee from me. Come on, it's time to kill a dragon called fear. It's time to stop putting up with the enemy's lies. It's time to say, enough is enough. I'm not letting it live in my house. I'm not letting it live in my mind, but I rebuke the spirit of fear in the name of Jesus. Shatabakotorabahaya. Come on, if you've been experiencing an attack of fear, I want you to take this as a word from the Lord today. If you've been battling in your mind, if you've battled panic attacks and anxiety and the spirit of fear, you need to take authority over it, not by you, but by the word of God today. In the name of Jesus, come on, can we gather around this altar right now? It's time to kill a dragon called fear. It's time to kill a dragon called fear. I believe your word, God. I stand upon your promises, Lord. I believe the word of faith. Lord, I speak it right now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I've been afraid long enough. I've run long enough. I've been scared long enough. God, instead of being scared, I'm going to read your word and I'm going to believe your word. God, you've not given me the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, it's time to kill a dragon called fear. Don't let it live anymore, but stand upon God's word in the name of Jesus. We rebuke the spirit of fear. We bind it in Jesus' name. God's not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind.